Beloved radio friends, in the worthy and the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we greet you heartily, rejoicing in the privilege and prayerfully coming with the Word of God to your hearts, and to consider the study that we have been meditating upon, the great doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We do thank God for this subject and the privilege of bringing for the instruction of God's dear people the study of the Holy Spirit. We read again for our meditation what we have been taking from the book of the Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. These are the words that declare the historical record concerning the descent of the Holy Spirit from heaven above to the earth below on that memorable day of Pentecost. We do thank God for these words, and in our brief time of study, we have already considered some various aspects concerning the Holy Spirit's descent upon that day, just after what happened in this account in relation to His coming to the earth. Now, contrary to what may oftentimes be only suggested, contrary to one thing, we have suggested five things actually occurred on this occasion. We name them briefly. First, there was the fulfillment of the promise by the Father and the Son to send the Holy Spirit when Christ would be glorified in heaven. Second, there was also the fulfillment of a declaration that when He would come, He would take up His dwelling with the believers. And in fulfillment of our Lord's promise that He will dwell with you and that He will abide with you forever, the Holy Spirit came upon the day of Pentecost. The third outstanding fact, which we have taken up as a subject in a preceding message, was the fulfillment as to the abiding or the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer. And we thank God in accordance to the Lord's words in John 14:17, when He said, "He shall be in you, the Holy Spirit came." Now may we recapitulate these three facts briefly. The promise of the Father and of the Son was fulfilled. The declaration concerning the dwelling of the Holy Spirit with the believers, that too was accomplished on the day of Pentecost. And also the outstanding fact, contrary to any other dispensation, whether past or whether future, the Holy Spirit took up His indwelling within each believer. Now, beloved, on the ground of these three facts, may I repeat with emphasis, it is absolutely unnecessary, as well as perhaps an insult, to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. He came. He is still here. Don't you ever pray for another Pentecost to happen. We do not need another Pentecost, but we do need to let the Holy Spirit have more of our hearts and of our lives in devotion and faithfulness to our Savior. It is not that we need more of Him as much as He needs more of us to use us. Now we have named the fourth thing, and that is the filling of the Spirit, for our text declares that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we are reserving the filling of the Holy Spirit in its detailed study to our next message and study on the doctrine. But the filling of the Holy Spirit, may I say briefly, was certainly that which enabled them to speak in tongues. Now I am fully aware that many teach that it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that enables a person to speak in other tongues. You have never been more unscriptural than if you say that. It was the filling of the Holy Spirit, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that enabled them to speak in tongues. Now that we shall take up in detail in our next study. But we come to that which is the theme of our message, the baptism of the Spirit. What is it? And this is the final work that we believe was accomplished by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We confess again, too many Christians are ignorant of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. For though the historical occasion of this baptism of the Spirit is recorded in the book of the Acts, chapter 2, the complete and clear explanation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has been written by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Listen to the words. For by one Spirit are we, or have we been all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all, or we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now here in this verse, the one Spirit is the Holy Spirit, who came on the day of Pentecost, and he formed the one body, which is the church. Now may I state again that the baptism of the Spirit was the forming or the birthday of the church, the inauguration of the body of Christ, which is the church. May I repeat again, the baptism of the Spirit is not linked to speaking in tongues, but it is linked, as you have it in the explanation and the clear definition of 1 Corinthians 12, it is linked to the formation of that one body of Christ, which is the church. All believers on that day were united by the Holy Spirit into one organism, with Christ their head in heaven above. And whenever and wherever a sinner believes in the finished work of Christ on the cross to save him or her, that believing sinner shares in the baptism and is joined by the Spirit to that one body. May I give the personal word of my own testimony by reminding my heart as well as yours that one night, one Sunday night in February 1914, I knelt before my Savior, convicted, repentant, and believing that he had died for me. I trusted his atoning work for my salvation that night. And praise God, that very moment that I trusted the Savior, I was joined to the body of Christ. That church that was first formed on the day of Pentecost. Many years ago, someone said to me as I was witnessing to them, I belong to the first church. And I looked at them and I said, that's strange, so do I. I belong to the same church that was formed on the day of Pentecost when the church began. Now, beloved, I hope you realize the meaning of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was the inauguration, the formation of the church in its beginning. And when I trusted the Savior, thank God, I was joined to the body of Christ. I don't know what church you joined, but let me be very clear and scriptural. Local church membership will never save you, and that many of you may know. But I would like to ask the question, have you been joined to Christ? A lady many years ago said to me, as she sent for me, and the first thing she said to me, Mr. Bramall, I want to join your church. And I looked at her, knowing she was not a Christian. I said, I do not have a church for you to join. But let me tell you what I wish you would do. I wish you would get joined to the Lord and get saved, become a Christian. And then we'll talk about church fellowship. Now, beloved, look. The Spirit of God came to the earth on the day of Pentecost to begin the formation of the church. That was the baptism of the Spirit. When he united all those believers that were gathered together in that upper room, and he formed that spiritual union, the body of Christ, uniting them with the head who is in heaven, and the head in heaven and the body on the earth, making the complete Christ. Yes, beloved, may I say that? The only scripture that you can get a clear explanation concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. And I defy you to show me in that scripture where there's any speaking in tongues or anything regarding a miraculous thing other than the Holy Spirit in his miraculous power bringing every believer to share in that one organism. Then may I point out another fact regarding 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Paul said, we have all been baptized. We have all been made to drink into that one body. Now when I look at that little word all, I believe it takes in every Christian. But I know many Christians who look at me with doubt, because I haven't been, as they think I should, baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now wait a minute. If I read 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13, I read that every Christian has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. But I do not read that every Christian is supposed to speak in tongues. They were united by the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ. I'd like to ask my friend, if you have this baptism, this spiritual baptism, are you united to Christ? And if you think you must have an experience beyond being saved in order to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my friend, you're wrong. The baptism of the Holy Spirit places the believer into the body of Christ, the church. When that sinner is born again, and thank God this has been my happy portion, for 60 years almost I have been rejoicing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And may I add, other than the language that I may have known, I've never spoken in other tongues. My beloved, let's use some common sense. Let us see clearly what happened on the day of Pentecost. And the Spirit's work of baptizing is joining men and women who believe in the Lord Jesus to the church which is the body. Father, sanctify thy truth in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.